Lord, may we hear your voice and know your presence with us this morning. Today's gospel story isn't simply one about a man born blind, although he is a rather remarkable character. One minute he's sitting there minding his own business, and the next he's able to see after being sent to the pool of Siloam to wash by a stranger. Nor is this story simply about Jesus' power to heal, although no one else's mud and spit seem to have such a powerful effect upon a person's eyes. Nor is this story simply about the refusal to acknowledge the obvious. In this story, we first hear of neighbours, and then the immediate witnesses all deny that this is the same person. The Pharisees summon him and ask him what has happened. And with all their energy and attention that's focused on whether Jesus broke the rules or not, they seem blind to this larger reality that a sightless man can now see. In so many ways, this story highlights how blame works in our world. If only we can make someone responsible. If only we can find some fault and hold that person accountable, then they are responsible for everything that happens. We hear this in the disciples' response. Who is to blame for this man's blindness, they ask. Is it something he did or something his parents were responsible for? Thankfully, Jesus disavows this view completely. Disability is never the result of an ethical failure, either on our part or by somebody else. God does not punish his beloved children in this way. But blame can prevent us from seeing the obvious, from stopping us from seeing what can and should be done. When we get so focused on finding the person responsible, we can completely misunderstand the person who comes to put things right. It's with considerable irony that as this blame game begins, how the hunt for sin shifts the focus from this person to his parents to Jesus himself. Clearly, Jesus is the problem here, because he fails to keep the law. Those who are in charge conclude that he's no prophet, even though he can do what no one else could ever dream of doing. He's not the light of the world, they say. He's just a sinner, pure darkness itself. Whenever bad things happen, it's so easy for us to blame ourselves or to blame others. But blame and recrimination never seems to work in our world. It just never seems to help anything get better. The one thing blame never does is help people to see more clearly. When bad things happen, the challenge for us is whether we can see God's presence. Do we only see the catastrophe that unfolds? Or can we see the unexpected new life that emerges through God's presence? Do we appreciate the work of reconciliation and healing and joy? Or do we only fume and fulminate that God is not supposed to work in this way? The wonder of the story is not only that God helps and heals, but that God does not care very much for our particular rules or sensibilities. God will bring new life, even in the darkest of places. God is at work in our world. The light has come, but not always in ways that we expect. God is present, but not necessarily in ways that we appreciate or understand. God heals and helps, but to us, he often sounds like a stranger. God brings new life, fresh opportunities when we have eyes to see and hearts that are open to believe. The challenge is this. Are we closed and satisfied with being know-it-alls who seem to know perfectly how God works, even though we are blind to the evidence of what he is doing? Or are we people who are open, prepared to look and expectant of the one who brings light from darkness? Earlier in this week, a friend shared with me a poem called Lockdown, a poem about the crisis that is confronting the world, where I think in a world where there seems to be so much darkness, nevertheless the light has come. Let me share this poem with you for just a few minutes. It begins, "Yes, there is fear. Yes, there is isolation. Yes, there is panic buying. Yes, there is sickness. Yes, there is even death. But they say that in Wuhan, after so many years of noise, you can hear the birds sing once again. That after just a few weeks of quiet, the sky is no longer thick with fumes, but the sky is blue and clear. They say that in the streets of Assisi, people are singing across empty squares, keeping their windows open so that those who are alone may hear the sounds of family around them. Today, a young woman I know is busy spreading flyers with her phone number through the neighborhood so the elders might have someone to call upon. Across our world, churches and synagogues and mosques and temples are prepared to welcome and shelter the homeless, the sick, the weary. And all over the world, people are slowing down and reflecting. All over the world, people are looking at their neighbours in new ways. All over the world, people are waking up to a new reality of how big we really are, how little control we have, and that what really matters is love. And so as we pray, we remember that while there is fear, there does not have to be hate. While there is isolation, there does not have to be loneliness. While there is panic buying, there does not have to be meanness. While there is sickness, our souls can stay strong. While there is death, there can always be a rebirth of love. Wake up to the choices you make as to how you wish to live now. So breathe and listen. The birds are singing once again. The sky is clearing, and we are always encompassed by love. So open the window of your soul. And though you may not be able to touch across the empty square, sing. It's certainly a difficult time for many, but we can be confident that the light has come, that in Christ all things are made new. And no matter what happens, Christ loves us and is with us and opens us up to his presence. Amen.